All right. 6 to 8.
We're ready?
6 to 8.
We're ready.
Here we go.
Good morning. This is Jonathan Frakes, Will Raker from Star Trek TNG, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling live at Indie PopCon. It's June 8th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
Kyle Hickman.
And we are here at Indie PopCon talking about some of the more interesting things in the world, not any of that stuff that you'll see on CNN. Pop culture, that's the key to all of the things that we're talking about today. We got Kyle here. How's it going, Kyle?
I'm fantastic, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good to see you, man.
Let's talk about movies, man.
Let's talk about movies. Movies is one of the things that we talk about on Too Much Scrolling. We've got a movie of the week and a book of the week, but because we're here at Indie PopCon and because this is a special time of year, it's mid-year. We've seen half of the movies that are going to come out. And we're going to do something a little bit special today.
And we've known Kyle has seen all of these movies, too. So we've seen some of them.
I have some kind of life, a little bit of a life.
Okay.
You have an idea of what's happening.
A little bit.
He's not that pasty white. He does get outside sometimes.
I'm single-handedly putting MoviePass out of business.
Excellent.
We're good.
MoviePass is that service where you pay $9.99 a month, mm-hmm. and you can see a movie every day of the year for $9.99 a month. So you see a movie... How often do you use MoviePass?
I'm probably rocking 2 to 3 movies a week.
Two to three a week?
Yeah, it's not good for the company.
That company is just bleeding money at this point. They're losing something like $3 million a month,
mm-hmm.
and half of that is for Kyle's movie.
I appreciate them very much.
So we're going to do a fantasy movie draft. We're going to choose our
He said fantasy.
Favorites.
I'm wearing a veil.
2018, from all of the movies that have been released so far in 2018, some of the rules are...
Very specific.
I'm wearing some cologne.
2018
this
movies.
Is fantasy.
On IMDb, they have to say that they were released in 2018. No cheating on keeping the really good movies that were released that last day in December 2017 so they can get in for Oscar consideration. These are not Oscar-worthy movies.
I'm lighting candles as we speak, Steve. You said fantasy, right?
This is going to be our fantasy way of doing things. We're going to go one at a time. So if Kyle's going first...
Let me get the hot oil ready.
And Chip is going second, and I'll go third. If Kyle chooses a movie, it is off the board. You can't choose it, Chip, okay?
Excellent. I'll try to remember that.
Okay. So, Kyle, tell me... Of the movies for the first half of 2018, what is your favorite title so far?
Well, since we're sticking with these rules,
uh-huh.
we will not be talking about Joaquin Phoenix today, so we'll move on. Number one, Tully.
Tully!
Have either one of you seen Tully?
I have not seen Tully.
I have not seen Tully, so you'll have to tell us why that's your favorite so far of 2018.
So Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
So what I love about the movie, number one, the trailer doesn't really give you anything. It just shows that there's a distressed mom who is struggling to maintain the home, and then a babysitter, a night nurse, shows up at the door, and that's the end of the trailer. So it doesn't really give you much.
Okay.
And then you go to the theater, and you start to learn a little bit more about what's going on once the night nurse comes. Now, this is one of those movies I can't tell you too much without giving away the premise and why the movie's
really?
So fantastic. But... it's very psychological in nature, and you find out... It's one of those films where what you think is going on is not going on at any point in the film.
Really?
So, although you said none of these might be Oscar-worthy, Charlize Theron's very good in this film.
And you think Tully, thus far, is your favorite of the titles
made
that have been released?
In 2018,
It's made
yes.
in 2018.
There's some made in 2017s that have hit in 2018.
Yeah.
But Tully, for me, just artistically, I think, is...
Then I will see this because I looked at it and it looked interesting, but I had not.
It's not marketed very well.
Okay.
It intentionally doesn't give you much, but it's worth the 2 hours.
All right, Tully is off the board. Chip, what is your favorite movie of 2018 thus far?
Well, after he left Dunder Mifflin, he headed out to the woods with his wife, and it was A Quiet Place.
Quiet
Place.
That's
my number two.
That's your number two.
That was my number two.
So he's
off the board,
snake
baby.
That
We're
off
moving on.
From your choice. What I haven't seen The Quiet Place. I've heard great things. You said some great things about it when we reviewed it on the show. Tell me again about A Quiet Place.
Well, there's really no sales of paper products at all involved in this.
These actors are actually actors that actually move on to other characters sometimes.
Where was Pam? Where was Pam during the whole film?
I don't know. I think they somehow they had a falling out, and at that point he got married to another woman, and they had children. It was about something strange happening in the woods, Steve. You had to be very quiet, and if you weren't quiet, the things would come get you. And it was a really, really good film. In fact, it did so well, and the response to it was so positive, they've already set up for a part two. And I think this is the type of movie that we've been looking for, because most of the other things I think we're going to be talking about, there's a follow-up to a movie, there's a real pop movie. I think this is the type of film that we've been looking for. So if Tully is great, I will see that. And I recommend, if you have not seen A Quiet Place, this is the movie to go see.
Kyle, you saw A Quiet Place.
Yes. John Krasinski's directorial debut.
That's too. Right. Fantastic. And writing, too. He wrote it and directed it. Mm-hmm.
Is this while he was working at the paper company?
Well, they don't work much there, so it's a lot of sitting around and pretending like they're typing. But what I loved about that film, too, is just the film, like the theater experience, because it's dead quiet the entire time.
That
and you
is
can
the
hear
one
people
thing.
Crumbling through their popcorn and even the slightest cough. Everyone's hypersensitive, like, shut up!
We live in an age where watching movies at home is so easy. Going to the theater is still an experience, and some people don't know how to go to the theater and watch a movie. The Quiet Place is the one that maybe people are doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one criticism that I've heard on other shows, better shows. I've heard on other shows, the one criticism of A Quiet Place is if you're in a theater with somebody who isn't playing along and isn't being quiet, if they're being noisy, if there's a crying baby, it ruins the whole movie for you.
Yeah, you're hoping at that point the crying baby gets picked off by one of the creatures, right?
That's right.
Like, just come on, swing through.
At some point, the other thing is that the story moves forward. There's always something happening, and it has... You know, it's not like these characters are going to, you know, if they go, they're not coming back. So that's one of the other parts about it.
And what I love, just a few minutes in the movie, you get tragedy right away.
Yep.
Family tragedy.
Yeah.
No, kind of spoilers.
Kind of spoilers.
And a lot of movies don't do that. And I appreciate the fact they just heartbreak
almost immediately.
Do you call
this a horror movie or is this a suspense?
This is like a Twilight Zone type movie.
Thriller, suspense.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah, Hitchcock.
Hitchcock-ish?
Ish, yeah, ish.
It's in there?
Ish.
It's hard to put anybody into that category, but... Ish.
For a directorial debut,
not
to
bad.
Be compared to Alfred Hitchcock, that is pretty amazing.
Not bad.
All right. So I get to make my choice for my favorite
a Mystery
movie
Science Theater
of 2018. Yes, Mystery Science Theater is certainly on my list. If we were going on feature-length films in the theater, I'm going to go with the one that everybody assumes I'm going to go with. I am going to go with my number one pick is Black Panther. This was a movie... For 2018, this was just an amazing study in how Marvel can turn the corner and do something unexpected and have a wonderful film with a huge audience coming in. The audience for this was really the story. There were so many wonderful people coming to see this movie, maybe who had never been to another Marvel film. This goes to show how Marvel can make a movie that is a standalone movie that's actually good, as opposed to Solo.
You couldn't help yourself, did you?
I couldn't help myself,
couldn't help
I'm
yourself.
Sorry. Solo is not a good movie when compared to Black Panther.
You know, Chewie's going to show up later on. Chewie's going to show up later on. I don't think you want to say that.
He'll
Chewie's
tear
dangerous.
Your arm off.
He's dangerous.
Yeah. I think that Black Panther is so much a better film.
Well, I think you hit something there. Marvel is taking C-level characters and making, you know, A-plus type movies. And they've created not just a character, they created a world. And they can explore that world. They could explore it in television shows. They could explore it in movies. They could explore it in written material. And they also develop that next market for them. So this is probably Marvel's international character, not just African character, a true international character.
As opposed to Iron Fist?
Exactly, which they did such a marvelous
Danny
job.
Danny Rand.
That was so bad. That Netflix series was not even good.
Steve,
yeah.
Steve, you make my eyes water.
Well, and the genius of Black Panther is it's designed to set you up for Infinity War.
Correct.
It's just another piece in the Marvel puzzle, but standalone. It's a genius film.
A standalone piece of a puzzle. Yeah. That's amazing to be able to do that. There are not many studios that are doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Pick number two. Kyle, what is your second favorite marking out all the ones that we've already covered.
I'm going to go with Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Okay, tell me why you love Ready Player One.
So I'll give the caveat.
And then everybody else in the room will say why they don't.
I didn't read the book.
You didn't read the
book? Didn't read the book.
Okay, so that's why you like this movie.
I think visually, it was really good. I enjoyed a lot of the references in the film, and I think it was just fun. It was one of those, you know what you're getting when you go into the theater, and you know, it wasn't like Action Point where you're like, you know, this is a waste of my hour and a half. I felt pretty good about Ready Player One. I'm not a book nerd on that level, so I'm not comparing the two.
So, those of us who are book nerds and read Ready Player One 5 years ago, this movie pales in comparison to the book. But that's true of just about any film made from a book.
And it could have been a series as opposed to just a single movie.
I think it would have been a much better six-hour Netflix series than a hour and a half, two-hour movie. They took the heart out of the characters. The characters are so much more than what you saw on screen.
They just kind of show up, and all of a sudden they're a group, and you're going,
They're the best friends ever.
That's right. How did that happen? Well, it just happened.
The speed ahead.
The amount of time that it takes in the story for those top five to become the team that they are is wonderful. It's wonderful, good characterizations. Now, Ernest Cline's book is not great writing. It is not great sci-fi. It's just a pile of 80s references. But I'm all for a pile of 80s references.
I'm all about it.
I am a pile of 80s references.
That was a lot of fun. I had no problem with this film.
It was fun.
It's Spielberg-ish.
There were certainly...
And he also brought a playfulness that you weren't necessarily getting from the book.
The playfulness in the one scene that we can't speak of, it was wonderful. The playfulness in the movie within a movie is amazing. Like, everybody in my theater was making sounds when they saw the movie within a movie in Ready Player One. I don't know. Can we spoil Ready Player One yet?
Yeah, is it,
yeah, I think you can.
Okay. The Shining is in Ready Player
One. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Which was not in the book.
It was not in the book. And The Shining is full of zombies. Which is not The Shining. That's awesome.
But that's not The Shining book either. So the movie and the book are different. So are you referencing the book or the movie?
The movie.
Now that we've ruined everything.
I already knew that these two were going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, just like they're on opposite ends of the table.
That's right.
Why I brought that one up, just to see. A little controversy. We can't agree on everything.
Step in the middle with you. All right, Chip, what is
Steelers
your second pick?
Steve, I'm going with Mary Quimby's favorite movie of the year, Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick goes on your top two for 2018 so far.
Steve, it's a short year so far. I did my best.
That is one of the things that I want to talk about with this is we are looking at the beginning of the year. Best movies come out at the end of the year.
I think we brought out Ted Kennedy's most appealing characteristics in this movie. his ability to get away and
with everything,
get away with everything,
with murder,
and run for president. I mean, why not? Let's go with it. And then you can always use your
Mayor Quimby,
your Massachusetts accent.
I am going to go to the moon and do the other thing.
I am a jelly donut.
I wouldn't say it's top three for me, but I enjoyed Chappaquiddick.
Not top three, though.
No, not top three.
I have not seen this movie. Have you guys seen Chappaquiddick? Is this a movie that you guys have seen? One person is saying yes, everybody else is saying, not so
everyone
much.
Else is like, I got better things to do with my
life. There's better things to do than Chappaquiddick.
Oh, there.
There's a lot of drama to it, right?
I liked the characters of it. I kind of liked revisiting, certainly I didn't like the tragedy that happened along the way there. But it really does show that on some level, there's two worlds going on.
Mm-hmm.
And are you comfortable with that? And that I think that maybe today that wouldn't be as easy to get away with. And when I say get away with it, I mean, he really did just abandon the whole moment of that movie. I mean, of the tragedy.
You guys know the story of the tragedy of Ted Kennedy? With the idea that he was probably drunk driving and a young lady died in his car as a result.
Somehow he got out and she didn't. And
he left.
He left.
He left and went to sleep for the night at a hotel
prison.
And then decided at that point maybe that point would be a good time to call in the next morning.
Wow. So. Powerful. My second book nerd choice for 2018 so far. That is the Wrinkle in Time adaptation from 2018. I think this was a really good adaptation of a wonderful book. We've discussed it several times on the show. We had Pam Bedour come on, our professor from Connecticut, to discuss all of the ideas of time travel and nostalgia. Back to your nostalgia point about Chappaquiddick. Nostalgia plays into movies so often. Back to your nostalgia point about Ready Player One. A Wrinkle in Time is a nostalgia piece for me. I remember reading it as a very young person. It's probably the first sci-fi book I ever read, probably the first time travel book I ever read, and I never looked back. I don't read anything else but sci-fi and time travel.
Now, Captain Kirk started this, right?
Chris Pine is in everything.
That's why we can't have nice things.
There's no movie without Chris Pine in it anymore, I think. I think that's... There's got to be
Hemsworth, Pine.
Yeah. Right. This was a really good adaptation. Once again, this is a Disney title. We should be counting our Disney titles because we're up to at least three different Disney titles at this point for 2018. Mm-hmm. This was a good adaptation. I really, really highly suggest that anybody who has a young lady in their life, a 10-year-old girl, go see this movie. This is the movie for that crowd. There's so many great lessons in A Wrinkle in Time, and the adaptation does all of those lessons really well.
And for the age group that the movie was, what the book was written for.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that Pamela Bedour talked about, was that it was made for that demographic.
Right.
Because the book was made for that demographic, which is something that doesn't always happen with adaptions. They always want to throw something a little more adult, or something to, as a bone for the adults listening
and
or
there,
watching.
And there is no bone for the adults in this. That is the one criticism that I've heard. That's what Pam Bedour actually told us, was there is no moment in A Wrinkle in Time that it's a wink to the adults in the room.
It
is
for
just
children.
For a certain, very specific demographic, and I think it does that very well.
Very nice.
Kyle, you got a third one?
I do. Am I allowed to cheat a little bit?
I don't want you to cheat.
Don't want me to cheat.
I don't want you to cheat, but go ahead.
I'm going
to
cheat. Okay.
Do it.
So technically 2017, but dropped in 2018, The Death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin.
You like that?
Oh, love Death of Stalin.
Really?
All right.
Now, this is a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Political satire.
The Death of Stalin is a comedy. Tell us all about this one.
Political satire. Uh-huh. I've been told, I haven't seen the film, but I'm told it's very similar to In the Loop. From 2009, another political satire, but Steve Buscemi in the crew. It's about the Stalin dies essentially, and it's about the power grab with his inner circle of who's going to take over from that point in time, and it's just a comedy of errors going on.
Kyle's just said he didn't watch that movie.
He said 2009.
Oh,
the 2009 movie to which it is compared.
I was talking to a bartender at the movie theater, and he said, "Oh, have you seen In the Loop?" And he was like, "Yeah, it's a lot like that." And so, but it was hailed as being a comedic movie, and I thought it met the expectations. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
All right, I'll take that. Chip, do you have a third one?
I do. I'm going with Game Night, Steve.
Game Night
for 300.
Yes. That's who I was.
Game Night is definitely on my top five for 2018. That is a really good movie.
Yes. What is a fun movie, Steve?
A fun movie is a movie that would make everybody in the room smile while they're watching it. And this movie accomplishes that.
Not too raunchy.
Not too
lots
raunchy.
Of, lots of fun twists.
You think that it's going to be way more raunchy than it is. It's not.
Real typical Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Ornery. Annoying.
Watching him squirm. That's what we like about Jason Bateman, right? We just put him in a situation and watch him squirm.
That's... I wouldn't use like for Jason Bateman for me personally, but
really?
No, he's the same character in almost every movie. And it's that
with
I'm annoyed and
of
Dodgeball.
What's the Jason Bateman series?
Arrested Development.
Arrested Development.
No. The dramatic one that's on right now. Not Atlanta, but another location. Ozark. Ozark, I'm told, but I haven't seen it.
He's diverting.
Ozark is very much not a Jason Bateman character. He is a very different character.
He's moving on.
Look at him. I felt this was a wonderful adult date night type of film.
Great.
I thought it was light enough and poppy enough, and it's a fun time. A fun time will be had by all, Steve.
I think I completely agree with you. I'm not sure that my 12-year-old would have as much fun with it. I think it's definitely for the adult part of the audience, and that.
Did you say it's an adult film, Steve?
I did not say it's an adult film. I said that it was not family friendly. That this is definitely about middle-aged people getting together and having conversations with each other on a date night, now, game night.
Steve, a lot of people would say that's foreshadowing because we have plans this evening.
Oh, that's right. It is game night tonight. We are going to gather together and play Werewolf is the name of the board game that we're going to be playing tonight.
I've got my costume, Steve.
Yeah, there, Wolf. There, Castle. I thought you wanted to. Yes, game night is a thing. We are going to gather together tonight and play some games and have some fun. That is what we are doing. It's gonna be great, man.
Steve, do you have another film?
I do. I have two more on my list, and I'm gonna go with the book nerd title. There's a huge theme here. My book nerd title.
Did you really? You're going with that one, Fifty Shades of Grey, aren't you?
Fifty Shades Freed.
That's right.
You know the title of
Dakota
that?
Dakota Johnson. I haven't seen it. But I've
I've heard about it.
Through the previews.
I've heard about it.
My third title is Annihilation, the adaptation of the book. This movie, I swear to God, there's something to it. We talked about it.
We had this conversation.
You know, Steve, the Methodist conference is meeting over there, and you just swore to God. My God.
My Lord, I swear to you that this movie means something. I don't know what it means.
Cancer.
But it means
it's
something.
About cancer.
I think it's about cancer.
Was a strange film.
Women's empowerment and cancer.
It is a very strange film. It's a very strange book. So it adapted into a very strange film. But it's about something. I can't stop thinking about it. We had this conversation already when this film came out. And there's something there.
I
don't know what it is. And that really makes me interested in finding out what it is. And I think it's cancer. I think it's a story about cancer. I don't know if they're going to make any of the other books into movies.
How many are there?
There are three. It's a trilogy. Oh. The Southern Reach trilogy. There are three, and they could do all sorts of things.
Do we have time to continue?
I don't think we do. I think we are all out of time.
All right, so
next one's Deadpool. We won't talk about it, but you know.
And I'm going to say that we've tried to go see How to Talk to Girls at Parties. There are actually two theaters in Chicago. Two theaters in all of Chicago that have this movie.
Really?
No, it's Lombard. Actually Lombard and Skokie.
And I contacted our movie reviewer in London and asked her if she's seen it, and she said the same thing. She can't find a showing of this movie in London either.
If it's going to be that difficult, why not just throw it through Netflix or Apple TV or Prime or something?
Seems like a kind of a movie that would do that. So
why make a movie if it's
so
good?
That's it.
No,
that's our
watch it.
That's our fantasy draft for the first half of 2018. Good choices. We got some good movies out there.
I think it's time for us to light a cigarette, Steve. You said the fantasy's over.
Hopefully there'll be some better movies in the second half of 2018. Maybe we'll come back and do this at the end of the year. Do our end-of-the-year wrap-up like we usually do and find our favorites of 2018.
An end-of-the-year wrap. That's going to be awesome.
That's right.
We're going to go freestyle.
We've had a lot of fun.
Don't listen.
We're here live at Indie PopCon, having a lot of fun with the Southgate Media Group Podcast Marathon 2018. I want to thank everybody for being here and listening to us, and everybody who's listening on the recording that I'm going to put out later. It's been great. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our new site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think
or tomorrow.
Can. Or tomorrow. We're doing another show tomorrow at 10 a.m. So come to the podcast stage tomorrow morning, and we'll do another morning show. That's what we like, is morning shows. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
I'm Kyle Hickman.
We'll see you in the future.
You guys don't usually. You guys don't usually give me any of that.
We did our best.
Special treatment. It's a special moment.